Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your great Adam massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Here in the wonderful state of South Carolina, enjoying southern hospitality but looking forward to going home. Let's see now, the California GOP are ticked off at me because I won't support Meg Whitman. Oh, well. The Tea Party crowd, co-opted here by the GOP, are ticked off at me because I'm less than thrilled about Fiorina. Chuck DeVore was the right choice for Boxer's Senate seat. Come on. Which brings me to another reason. The Tea Party crowd are angry at me. I'm disgusted with their darling Sarah Palin, who forsook pro-life and slapped Proposition 8 right in the face by endorsing Meg and showed us that she's a party gal after all. That is a GOP party gal. When she snubbed DeVore and went with Carly. So you see, I'm ticking everybody off these days. Okay, and by the way, I'm going to be delivering a brain massage blast of light of truth therapy that will electrify the brain with an insight so brilliant it will scatter the darkness long enough for you to see the light, allowing you an opportunity to choose either to embrace it or reject it. So listen up. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Beckites don't love me anymore because I have the audacity to question Beck's religion. Imagine that. No matter that his religion teaches that the true church had utterly disappeared from the earth. Until Joe Smith met up with an angel named Moroni, son of another angel named Mormon, who revealed all of this to him. Later, John the Baptist, by the way, anointed him to be an apostle to recover the true church. Oh, yeah. So everybody was wrong except them, you know. Joe went looking for the true church, couldn't find it, and the Moroni angel told him it was not to be found, so Joe would have to reestablish it. That, and the fact that the Mormon doctrine of deity is very similar to the pagan view of deity, a spin-off the old lie Satan told Eve in the garden. Remember that? Ye shall be as gods. The Mormons teach that, quote, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man may one day become. Oh, yeah. And according to Brigham Young, God revealed to him, that is, I said that God revealed to him that Adam is God. As late in his life as 4 years before his death, he reasserted this conviction of his that God had revealed to him that he is Adam, the first man. And Young's counselor, the Mormon apostle, Herbert C. Kimball, said, quote, I have learned by experience that there is but one God that pertains to this people, and he is the God that pertains to this earth. The first man, end quote. Now, many Mormons are uncomfortable with this foolish notion, as we might expect. But the Mormons have a dilemma. You see, because if Brigham Young was a prophet of God, as they claim, well, then his claim that this teaching was a revelation from God must be accepted as authoritative. Yet more recently, some Mormon leaders have said that anyone receiving that absurd notion deserves to lose their soul. Now what? If Mormons deny this doctrine, well, they bring into question Brigham Young's salvation and expose Brigham Young as a false prophet, which, of course, compromises their claim of an unbroken chain of prophets from Joe Smith to the present. All right, anyway, my Beckites are angry with me because I won't hide the truth about Beck's Mormonism. They fear it might cause some evangelicals to back away from seeing him as the leader of the resurgence of faith in America. Oh, my goodness. He is calling America back to God, but the truth about his religion brings into question what exactly does he mean by the word. And that, in turn, brings into question what sort of revival is Beck promoting. Is he promoting the idea of a generic use of the word God, one that is inclusive of everyone's idea of deity, a sort of modern-day Baalism? You might remember in an earlier show, Baalism, I brought to your attention, Baalism was the religion of Jezebel, a high priestess and prophetess of the pagan religion by that name. And they taught that the word Baal or Baal was a word for deity that was inclusive of all gods, all the gods of the heathen. So the question is Bek a modern-day prophet of Baal? It's a legitimate question, and I'd like some clarification on that. But some of my friends, and I mean friends, people who admire me and for whom I cherish a great fondness and admiration and respect, are angry with me because I think we should know exactly what Bek means by the word God before we rally to his standard. Now, let's see here. The GOP is angry at me because I won't just shut up about Meg until after the election, one advised me. And the Palin Bek wing of the Tea Party is angry because I insist on exposing Palin as a closet GOP party gal, willing to sacrifice her pro-life convictions on the altar of the grand old party, if needed. And so I might as well go ahead and tick off the libertarians, too. All right, Ron Paul is being trumpeted as the legitimate heir of the Tea Party, angst against the establishment parties. I like a lot of things about Ron Paul. But, my friends, the Libertarian Party has a fatal flaw. It is only noticeable when we start talking about abortion, pornography, prostitution, gay marriage, those subjects. To be a perfectly consistent libertarian, you must support the right of homosexuals to marry if they want to, same-sex marriages. In fact, you will take the position that government has no legitimate interest in being involved in marriage at all, which means, in a pure libertarian worldview, you would not want government to provide any restrictions on what people do sexually, right? With the possible exception that you might tolerate some enforcement of laws against pedophilia, since it is arguable that a child under, well, what age would you libertarians choose? 5 years old? 9 years of age? You know, like Sharia law, where you can marry a child when it's old enough to handle you, that kind of thing. Sick, isn't it? How about 10 years old? How about prepubescent? Maybe, huh? How about 13, 14, 15, 16, 17? Pick an age. Anyway, from a libertarian point of view, you see, the issue is only where to draw the line for the age of consent. And some libertarians would go farther, by the way. Then we go to the issue of bestiality, and the question becomes whether one can prove this amounts to animal abuse, right? You know, the old satanic mantra, if it do no harm, do what thou wilt, or whatever it is, right? That's the libertarian principle, isn't it? Did you know that a Satanist is the one who put that together? But anyway, you know, so what spirit are you of? Anyway, so that's why libertarians are all over the board on questions like gay marriage, abortion, and so on. Liberty, man. Liberty, that's the thing, right? If a guy wants to exploit the perversity of human nature and provide stag farms where people can pay to ride a donkey, or whorehouses, you know, where guys are allowed to make merchandise of a woman's body, destroying the whole concept of fidelity, promoting all sorts of evil in the world. You know, as the good books, the Bible Flip Alert. Bible Flip Alert! whoredoms increase transgressors in the land. Proverbs 23:28. You see, that's the problem with libertarianism. It is necessarily conducive to the promotion of vice and to destructive forces in culture that tend always, finally, to victimize children and women. Libertarianism denies the idea of an absolute moral code, at least insofar as it being applicable to the formation of laws in our land. It denies the notion of the laws of nature and of nature's God, ultimately, if it says government cannot enforce any of the laws of nature's God in the moral side. It's like Obama in this regard, although they get mad at me when I point it out, but libertarians are like Obama in that they tend to drop out that little bit about the laws of nature's God. They go with, you know, laws of nature, that's fine. That's sufficiently vague to allow for a whole lot of wiggle room in establishing what laws government has a legitimate interest in enforcing. But if you say, and of nature's God, and, by the way, you define God in the context of how that word was understood when we the people went to war under that great banner of the Declaration of Independence, well, you know, as they say in Oz, that's a horse of a different color, huh? Think about it. The problem with libertarianism is that it rejects the notion that Christ Jesus is the Lord and that his dictums of morality are the basis for our laws, which by the way, will be the laws that will judge the nations when he comes. And the only laws that have legitimacy in this earth right now are those that he commanded, or at least that are conformable to what he commanded. Libertarians, like the rest of the vain philosophies out there, join their voice in some measure, to the rage of the heathen who cry, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. No one's going to tell me what to do, that kind of thing, you know, that spirit. They are in the company of those Jesus prophesied would say after he departed from the earth. He predicted that that crowd would get together and say, we will not have that man, referring to Jesus, to reign over us. Libertarianism, therefore, ultimately promotes the most vile, unintentionally, by the way, but it will tend to promote the most vile behaviors and gives to wickedness and sin the dignity of a divine right. Well, that isn't going to cut it, my friends. That will do as much to bring this nation to hell as what's going on right now. Now, I've got to take a break. But here is that profound insight, I promise you. I've ticked everybody off. Of course, the liberals go crazy when they hear me say the things that I believe. That's to be expected, right? As Savage has observed, liberalism is a mental disorder. The GOP, however, has turned its back on its former commitment to pro-life. And Beck is promoting, what, a modern-day Baalism. And if I point these things out, the people don't call me and challenge the truthfulness of what I'm saying. No, they call and fuss at me because I'm stabbing the movement in the back or I'm shooting at our own when I should be shooting at the enemy, this kind of thing. So in order to set the record straight, my friends, everyone who is opposed to truth is my enemy and in my crosshairs. Truth is what I'm about. I'm not the traitor here. I am consistently pro-life. You're the traitor if you've gone along with Meg and so on, if you've abandoned the pro-life cause in order to promote the GOP, the grand old party. When you get mad at me for questioning Beck's concept of God, well, you're mad at me what? Because I won't play the games that you have said you despise. You're angry at me because I refuse to become what you have said you hate? With, you know, going along to get along with compromise in order to get power? You don't see that you're becoming what you hate. It's like the beloved Apostle Paul said once, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? By the way, you're being duped. And so here's the deal. I love you anyway. I'm on your side, by the way. And we will see who is right about this. Go ahead and play along with the GOP's wicked strategy of choosing the lesser of two devils, believing that you are smarter than God, more powerful than God, that the true and living God of our fathers needs you to use deceit and trickery and knavery and even moral treason in order to save America. And we will see what sort of America you end up with, my friends. And when the Baalites have finally exhausted themselves and fully exposed themselves to the just mockery of God's true prophets, and you have failed, utterly failed, to save America, well, then hopefully you'll remember those guys who stayed in the trenches calling a spade, so to speak, and so on. And at least perhaps the cowardly remnant among you will turn around and realize that what this nation needs is a return to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, you know, like Washington said, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the nations. And with him, that is with George Washington, we all long for the day that every scepter will be laid down at his feet. So when you're done, turn back to the true church, which has the keys of the kingdom, and we'll show you how to secure the blessing of divine providence and restore this one nation under God. Meanwhile, keep listening, because you know I'm going to keep you honest, and I'm going to make you think. I'll be right back.
Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind. If you've got a piece of Pastor's mind stuck in your throat, there's only one way to get it out. Call 888-770-8000 and give him as big a piece of your own mind as you can find. Call 888-770-8000 and don't worry, Pastor Scheidbach can take it. Call 888-770-8000 and leave your message during the break. Your brain massage will continue in just a moment. Pastor Scheidbach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur and spokesperson for God. I ran out of time in the first segment, so I didn't get to the frustration I have over the Newsom and Maldonado match. I mean, it's like the Meg Whitman thing and Jerry Brown. Of course, Newsom, as a caller last week reminded me, represents the most obnoxious wing of the liberal party in our state and our country. And his threat, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. His defiance of the people's expressed will in Proposition 22 out here in California. His open promotion of the most deadly and filthy lifestyle, a lifestyle that is destroying lives, cutting their life expectancy to half. At gathering the clouds of divine wrath over our state and this nation, by the way, for all of these reasons, I certainly oppose Newsom. But what does the GOP give us as an alternative? Maldonado, who betrayed family values when he supported Harvey Milk Day, which is the most bizarre flip-flop I've seen in a politician for a long time. For those who don't remember that, Harvey Milk is the out-of-the-closet homosexual politician who was killed over a job dispute, by the way. The homosexuals turned it all around and made Milk into a martyr for the homosexual cause. And they've milked it, indeed, for far more than it was ever worth. But, of course, they get away with it with the help of their wicked accomplices in the MSM, Marxist Socialist Media, otherwise known as the mainstream media. Anyway, Maldonado stabbed conservative values, Californians, when he supported the wicked idea of holding milk up to our kids in our public schools as some kind of a hero, advocating homosexuality to our children in our schools in total defiance, by the way, of the wishes of most Californians. So I asked my dear friend who called me on this and asked me not to forget the gruesome newsome. I asked, what has the GOP given me as an alternative? The fact is, it seems apparent to me that whether we get Newsom or Maldonado, the homosexual agenda is going to have a supporter in the governor's office, in the office of lieutenant governor. I guess Newsom was right, huh? Whether we like it or not, Newsom or Maldonado. California politicians are determined to shove the homosexual agenda down our throats, just like Obama and his health care bill. These politicians today are only interested in one thing, gaining as much power over us as they can get, and then using that power to defy the people. I wish there was a way to remove the dollar sign from campaigning, but there is no way to do it. Really, what we need is to get the voters to understand that if they are compromisers, if they are people who manipulate the system to get their way, well, then the kind of politician they get will be compromisers who manipulate the system to get their way. The only way to stop this is for Americans, the grassroots American, to wake up to righteousness and start insisting that they will not support anyone for office who is without integrity and who is not committed to righteousness as it is defined by the laws of nature and of nature's God. People who don't conveniently omit God from their language or their philosophy when it comes to voting. Okay, on to other things. A birther update. I told you long ago that I would not let this issue go, that I would keep after it throughout Obama's illegitimate presidency, that I would continue to refer to B. Hussein Obama as president alleged until he broke down and released his long-form birth certificate and opened his education records to the public like every other president has done or has been willing to do. Let's quickly overview the facts. Fact number one, Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution of the United States specifically states, quote, no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president, end quote. The language is clear. At the time the Constitution was ratified, many of our founders were not natural-born citizens. And for that reason, the caveat is provided that persons who were legitimate citizens of the United States at the time of the ratification of the Constitution would be eligible to hold office, the office of presidency, even if they were not natural-born citizens. But thereafter, however, the qualification is he must be a natural-born citizen. Fact number two, in order to be a natural-born citizen, you've got to be born in the United States, or if you're born abroad, you can, if specific circumstances are met, inherit natural-born status from your parents. Now, if he was born abroad, well, then that's a problem for Barack Hussein Obama because his father was not a citizen of the United States. And his mother, by the way, had not lived in the United States the required amount of time after attaining the age of majority when Obama was born, meaning she could not pass on her citizenship to Obama. Fact number three, if Barack Hussein Obama was not born in the United States, and it's possible to argue that even if he was, if his father was not a citizen, then he is not a natural-born citizen. And if that is the case, Obama is guilty of perpetrating the most massive fraud in the history of the United States upon the American people. Fact number four, the citizenship status of Barack Hussein Obama is a point of legitimate concern, since family members have declared he was born in Kenya, and other circumstances regarding his place of birth are questioned, raise questions. For example, he has actively refused to show us his actual long-form birth certificate, though we've asked for it, and this document could remove all doubt of Obama's status because it would name the hospital, the attending physician at Obama's birth, and so on. Under Hawaiian law, only Obama can legally release the document, but he's just not going to do it, folks. Why not? Well, it's obvious. Fact number five, further exacerbating the suspicion over the president's alleged legitimacy, is the fact that Obama has multiple teams of lawyers helping him shield the document in question from the eyes of the American people. Why? The answer is obvious. Fact number six, and adding insult to the injury to our intelligence this scamster has perpetrated on the American people, instead of producing an actual birth certificate, Team Obama produced another document, a, quote, certificate of live birth, end quote, something Hawaii won't even accept as authentic documentation of citizenship. So the latest is this. If we do flip the Senate and the House back in the general direction of conservative values, will they have the courage to demand that Obama produce his long-form certificate? Well, we'll see. We've got to do something to stop wrecking ball Obama. I mean, he has pummeled the Constitution and the rules of order in both houses of Congress. I mean, imagine anyone saying something so asinine as, quote, we have to pass the law in order for the people to find out what is in it, end quote, and that and will laugh when they're asked to read the bills before they vote them into law. It's beyond my comprehension. These people can be this dull. He has compromised us to our enemies. The man is a one-man wrecking ball in the hands of Soros and no doubt other Bohemian Grove European socialists who want to create a secular antichrist state in the United States that will build a platform for wholesale deconstruction of our nationalistic constitutional form of government and bring us under the rubric of a one-world government so they can manipulate the world economy to serve their own private interests. Wake up. Wrecking ball Obama is breaking down justice in America. Take a look at this. The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights has produced evidence that both, quote, supervising appointees and political appointees at the Justice Department have made clear statements that it is the policy of the Obama Justice Department not to enforce our nation's laws in a race-neutral manner, end quote. Now, the first was on July 6th, quote, former Justice Department Attorney Christian Adams confirmed that Deputy Assistant Attorney General Julie Fernandez told DOJ attorneys that under the Obama administration, the DOJ will never bring any cases against blacks or other national minorities under the Voting Rights Act, end quote. Interesting. Last Friday, Christopher Coates, a DOJ attorney, testified before the commission and confirmed that Fernandez ordered DOJ attorneys only to enforce what he called, quote, traditional types of voter intimidation cases that would provide political equality for racial and minority language voters, end quote. All right, you follow this? Mr. Coates also informed DOJ attorneys that it was the policy of the administration of the president alleged to not enforce anti-voter fraud laws since Obama, quote, was not interested in that type of issue, but instead interested in issues that pertained to voter access, end quote. And as Porky Pig would say with a little twist, and that's not all, folks. Coates also testified that the acting assistant attorney general of the Civil Rights Division, appointed by President Obama, specifically instructed him, quote, not to ask any other applicants whether they would be willing to, in effect, race neutrally enforce the VRA or the Voting Rights Act. And that was Loretta King, by the way, Obama appointee. Coates explained that King, quote, does not support equal enforcement of the Voting Rights Act, end quote. Excuse me. Think about this. This man, the president alleged, is a wrecking ball under the control of a foreign power interested in breaking down America's government system in order to fold us into a global government under their control. We've got one of the most, if not the most, important elections coming up in the history of this country, and Obama seems to be doing everything in his power to protect voter fraud and at the same time protect access for illegal voting. No interest in voter fraud, only voter access. Now think about it. The voter fraud issue has reached critical mass in this country. We are at the place now where elections are actually impacted by voter fraud on a national level. It's always been a problem in Chicago, but they have constructed such a massive voter fraud machine that today it is making a difference in key elections that have national consequences. Voter fraud must be aggressively investigated and pursued. And isn't it interesting that while the president alleged says he is focused on voter access, his administration has blocked prosecution of the Black Panther voter intimidation case. So, just whose access is he interested in protecting? The Soros wrecking ball destroying our country has a name. And it's spelled O-B-A-M-A. Oh, yes. Anyway, I don't have time to get into about 20 other news items I slated for notice in this show. That's the way it goes sometimes, but, well, maybe I can squeeze this one in. What happens when a fringe, totally unknown, self-described preacher in America pastoring a group of about 50 congregants in a church he personally invented, or in other words, someone to whom very few people in America, much less the whole world, would ever have given any attention? When such a fellow puts out a call to join him in something he came up with, all on his own, by the way, called Burn the Koran Day. What happens? Well, the world goes into apoplexy. World media outlets become obsessed with it. High public officials clamor to the microphones to make their denunciations clear, and the Arab-Muslim world erupts. But when a newspaper advertisement appears in Pakistani newspaper offering a reward to anyone who will kill an American, any American, by the way, what happens? Did you hear the collective yawn of the world? However, at least one fellow down under has been inspired by this event to offer some help to anyone seeking to collect on this offer of reward for killing an American by offering some advice on how to identify one. You gotta love those Aussies. I thought this would encourage you, so I'm going to read what this Australian dentist wrote, satirically, of course, in response to this advertisement in a Pakistani newspaper offering a reward to anyone who would kill any American they can find. How to identify an American. Quote, an American is English or French or Italian or Irish, German, Spanish, Polish, Russian, or Greek. An American may also be Canadian, Mexican, African, Indian, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Australian, Iranian, Asian, or Arab, or Pakistani, or Afghani. An American may also be a Comanche, a Cherokee, Osage, Blackfoot, Navajo, Apache, Seminole, or any of the many other tribes known as Native Americans. An American is a Christian, or he could be Jewish, or Buddhist, or Muslim. In fact, there are more Muslims in America than in Afghanistan. The only difference is that in America, they are free to worship as each of them chooses. An American is also free to believe in no religion. For that, he will answer only to God, not to the government, or to armed thugs claiming to speak for the government and for God. An American lives in the most prosperous land in the history of the world. The root of that prosperity can be found in the Declaration of Independence, which recognizes the God-given right of each person to the pursuit of happiness. An American is generous. Americans have helped out just about every other nation in the world in their time of need, never asking a thing in return. When Afghanistan was overrun by the Soviet Army 20 years ago, Americans came with arms and supplies to enable the people to win back their country. As of the morning of September 11, Americans had given more than any other nation to the poor in Afghanistan. The national symbol of America, the Statue of Liberty, welcomes your tired and your poor, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores, the homeless, tempest-tossed. These, in fact, are the people who built America. Some of them were working in the Twin Towers the morning of September 11, 2001, earning a better life for their families. It's been told that the World Trade Center victims were from at least 30 different countries, cultures, and first languages, including those that aided and abetted the terrorists. So you can try to kill an American if you must. Hitler did, so did General Tojo, and Stalin, and Mao Zedong, and other bloodthirsty tyrants in the world. But in doing so, you would just be killing yourself. Because Americans are not a particular people from a particular place. They are the embodiment of the human spirit of freedom. Everyone who holds that spirit everywhere is an American. End quote. Well, I certainly appreciate the sentiment. Thank you. I've lit the lights of the Belfry Arch that signal the enemy is on the march. Call in and tell me that you see the lights are on. I'm paying for the call. Give me a call at 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And say lights on if you're with me. And to register your thumbs down vote, you can just say lights off, then hang up. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.